Well, it's Eddie again. Joe, did I do this last week too,
I think you
Matt?
did, yeah.
I covered for Kevin last week.
With
So Joe is traveling today, going to out to Korea, and road crew is going to San Fran to a 3 day. So I'm going to cover for them for Joe today, and got Matt here helping me.
How are you doing?
It's all good. Had a good morning, been busy. So let's see what we got.
Right. Well, let me check to make sure. Evelyn. All right. So let's see if Evelyn has, if she is there. So let me unmute her. Evelyn, are you good to go?
Yes, I'm good to go.
How you doing?
I'm fine, but I have to tell you a story first. And
Okay.
it's not money is funny story either. It's a story. I talked to Dwayne the other day about my questions, and he said, get on the call and ask your questions there. And he said, get on Monday night's call. And I said, oh no, I can't do that. Eddie does Monday night calls. And he said, well, so? And I said, he'll tear me apart. And he said, and he said, I said, I'm new. He'll tear me to shreds. And he said, then get on Thursday's call and talk to Joe. So here I am, ready to talk to Joe, and guess who's here?
Well, let's fix that reputation. I don't tear anybody apart. I do ask tough questions sometimes, but they're not meant in a mean-spirited way. So.
I know, but I just felt so
You know
inadequate for
what? We
Eddie.
used to call Joe Smiley. We used to call Joe Smiley, and then after that article came out in the Market Watch, and they called Kevin Shortell with a million-watt smile, I guess we got to call Shortell Smiley. So.
Anyhow, I wanted to tell you that. I thought it was funny.
That's pretty funny. All right. Well, I'll go easy on you. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay. All right. So
Okay, so
tell us your story here.
well, my question came up because our friend was over the other night, and he proceeded to tell us that he was concerned about his retirement. He's like 61, and he's concerned about his retirement, and he and his brother and his dad have bought rental properties in the past, and he was telling us about a rental property that the deal fell through, and so my husband then started telling him about notes, and at first it took us a while to convince him that this is something he should look into. So he hasn't committed, but we have his interest. And so my question is, I just wasn't sure how to handle this with him, because he whether I should buy a note with his money, of course, and then resell it to him, making a spread, or borrow money from him and buy a note and then sell him a partial. And I wasn't sure how that works, so I wanted you guys to tell me what direction to go.
Okay.
And being new, I wasn't sure, which way to go.
Well, I think in general, I think you're probably moving a little fast. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you've got a relationship with him, so they say there's really a three-prong approach to negotiation or sales: like, respect, logic, and reason. Okay? So you've got the like factor down, right?
Oh, yes.
And so I would just tell you this. I don't care if it's me and 35 years experience or Bob Repass or anybody, even somebody that we know a long time or a family member or whatever, I don't know that I could go to dinner with them and get them from there to a check.
Okay.
I don't think you're doing anything wrong. I just think that you've got to work that path. Now, have you looked at the playbook that we sent out?
Yes. Yes, that's really good.
Part of that was kind of giving you two ideas. First of all, slow it down. Second of all, how do you keep them warm? Okay?
Right.
So because you really have to do both. You ever hear Bob at like events laugh at me about me being the PowerPoint guy? You're probably new enough you haven't heard that yet.
Okay? No.
But trust me, they will. Oh my God. Everybody looking there, and Eddie's working on PowerPoints. You know why I do that so much? I was doing it just before this call started. I did a presentation for Quest IRA last night here in Dallas. It's a little group. To be honest with you, that particular group probably doesn't look like they got a bunch of money. You know, they kind of look more like hustlers to me, and that's no bad reflection on Quest. They just look more like hustlers than people with money. You understand what the difference is?
Yeah.
A hustler's looking for money, and the guys with money have money.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the guys that have money don't want to be panhandled by the hustlers.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they're there because they're trying to invest their money. And Martha spends a lot of time nurturing that space. And so that particular group last night, it just sort of seemed to be the makeup more often than not. Okay? Well, what if we were there in an audience, and let's just say there's 50 people, there's really 5 people there with money and 45 people there that are panhandlers trying to hustle a deal, right? I seem a little bit obstinate about that, but it's the truth, right? They're there, and you know they come up at the end. We're kind of laughing. I stand in the back of the room, listen to some people that walk up and talk at the end and stuff. And hey, man, I got this deal, and people are talking about all kind of crazy stuff. One guy gets up there and says he's gonna have an airline in freaking Africa or something. I'm sure they bum-rushed him with money, didn't they?
Yeah.
So what did I do last night? I had the microphone. What did I do? I just got up there and showed them a couple of case studies of deals. One of them was Joe LeCount's deal. And another one was a deal that my mother-in-law bought. Both seller finance notes, performing notes that they bought, and why I thought they were good investments for them. So I talked about the redeeming factors. Found this note, property wasn't perfect, little mobile home and land deal, Joe LeCount found this deal, he bought it. Why did it make sense for him? Well, Joe made sense for him because Joe doesn't think he's going to have to foreclose, and if he had to foreclose, even though the collateral isn't necessarily something that some executive is going to live in, it doesn't mean some working class person isn't going to live there, and it's affordable for him. And I get to be a part of the process of affordable housing and help somebody with home ownership. And the guy that owned the note needs to sell it, and so he's willing to sell it at a good value proposition for me. Huh, I didn't tell you what I paid, right? So sometimes I'll tell people what they paid for notes, and sometimes I won't tell them what I paid for the note. I'll just say, this note returns a good return on investment. So it's what did I just do here? For the last 5 minutes or whatever, what did I just do?
Well, you helped them to understand.
I told them a story.
Okay.
Okay, so the tendency is for note school students, because half of them are engineers, is they want to whip out a spreadsheet, or they want to whip out a calculator, or they want to whip out. Keep all that stuff in your briefcase. Just tell them a story. I like if you use some PowerPoints to illustrate a picture or whatever, I like that. But like, I didn't. I you know, private investor that buys notes like this, he might his annual interest on his investment. See, I didn't say yield. His annual interest on his investment might be, 8 to 10%, depending on the particular deal. Not every deal is identical, and there's some, even amongst passive investors, they have some tolerance difference. But this is what we do, is we help passive investors own loans. So this is typically what it is. We buy a loan, it produces cash flow every month, right? And you remember those slides that are in the playbook? See, right,
Right.
boom, boom, boom. It's just cash flow. And what it really equals is I'm stepping in the position of being the bank. Now, if you had to choose between I want to own rent property and be a landlord, or I want to be the bank and have a loan service and they just wire the money into my account, most people would rather be number two. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm doing all the things that you see us say and do over and over and over, but I'm just doing it in a very conversational way. And
Okay.
it's what I did last night. At our Titanium Mastermind, we had a special guest who's going to be a special guest with us at the upcoming Summer Summit. Anyway, this guy's like a genius as it comes to credit and personal line of credit, business line of credit. I mean, seriously, the guy's like one of the smartest people in America on this subject. No kidding. Okay? And he had a great line, but it was effective, and I stole it from him. And I'm going to tell him I stole it from him. But in his presentation, he'll say the same thing at Summer Summit. And I stole it from him. I used it last night. He said, "Can you win a game when you don't know the rules?" What's the answer to the question?
No.
Okay. Is there any other answer?
Can you win
Of
a
course
game
there
when
is,
you don't know
right?
the rules?
There ain't no other answer. You cannot win a game if you don't know the rules. And I said, "What I'm going to show you tonight are the rules for buying safe notes."
That's good.
And I kept referring to, I like these notes because of this. Okay? The collateral is working class property. Okay? It may not be where I want to live. It doesn't mean it's not where anybody wants to live. Okay? The guy may have had a little injured credit. He may have had a little issue with a car payment or may have this and that. But he has established through a proven pay history that he wants this house and he's going to pay for it. Statistically, we know this is a good customer. That's what I like about this deal. You see what I'm saying? I don't need a trust me, I can grab 20 PowerPoint presentations and whip it on this screen within 30 seconds. Okay? Trust me, I got them at my fingertips. Okay? I haven't pulled out any PowerPoint to tell you any of this. I'm doing this to demonstrate it's more about the story than it is about the presentation, and I darn sure would never pull out a Excel spreadsheet and all of that, start running all that magic that you see us do in class or that you see us do, on the webinars. Because you guys have a deeper level of understanding. So I'm just saying it's just a sequence of stories. And I've got certain points in the story. So do you have a pencil?
Yes.
Okay. make them feel safe. I intentionally use several key words just then. This is what I like about this deal. This is what we have historically found is a good note. I'm going to teach you the rules to buying good notes. You understand? All of these things are like are like communications. You know, I never get into, I never use my public forum to go, you know, push off my religious views, okay? But I will say that that I'm a man of faith, okay? And I think that most, whatever somebody's faith is in note school, most people have faith, have a faith in something, right? Have a spiritual belief.
Right.
Okay, so we'll just say that I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm not using anything in a forum that says, "Hey, well, you got to give me equal time." But let's just all say that we have something. We have faith in something. We have spiritual beliefs. Okay, so
right.
I will occasionally refer to things that my pastor says. Okay, because he's a good speaker. He's a very skilled speaker. Okay, so on Easter Sunday, our church had two services at basically a basketball coliseum at the University of North Texas. It holds 10,000, 12,000 people, okay? Mm-hmm. So they've got a band, and it's cool, and everybody likes it, and this is all the people that regularly go to church there, and these are the people there going to church that only go to church a couple of times a year maybe, right? So he's got slightly different audience. And so he comes out. He's a cool guy. I know him very well personally. He's been the chaplain of Wooden Hudson's football team that you've heard me talk about a lot. So he used to help coach Hudson's football team back when they were playing kind of Pop Warner back in the elementary days. So we know him well, but I've picked up a lot of his communication skill from just listening to him present. Right. So he walks out. There's 8,000 people in this service, okay? It's popping, okay? They got the lights right. Everything's good. He walks out, and he goes, "Look, I've given you this. I've given you a notebook. I've done these different things. But before we do that, put down your notebooks for a minute, and let me tell you a story." And he pulls up a stool. And he leans up, kind of leans back in the stool, and for the next 5 to 6 minutes, he tells a story. Why did he do that?
To make them feel comfortable, I would think.
Listen, the story was the power to capture the audience. I mean, he's a pastor. He's been to school. He's been to seminary. He could pull out the Bible. He could quote this. He could do this. There's several different ways he could have established what he believed was the truth he was fixing to say. But he did it in the most powerful way he could, which was to say, "Let me just tell you a story." I looked over at Martha as soon as he said that, and I go, "I guess he's a trained presenter, isn't he?" You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And the only reason I'm saying this is I don't care if I'm trying to sell training or Joe Varnador is in Branson, Missouri tonight or, you know, Portland next week or wherever it is, or Kevin Moore and Kevin Shortell are out in San Francisco this week. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The power of just, it's real. It's true. Do you believe that my preacher believed what he was saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so it wasn't a matter of, people sometimes get confused about telling a story. They think telling a story means that you're somehow telling a tale or exaggerating the truth. That's not what we're talking about. You're telling a story. Have you ever been around small kids?
Yeah.
What is one of the favorite things that small children like to do with adults?
Tell stories, I suppose.
Open it and tell a story or read a book with them, right? Which is a story.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Right. So I'm just saying these are, all of these things are making your friend feel safe.
I see. I can really see a difference in what you just went through and what we were trying to, what we were doing was too much detail.
It's natural. Trust me, it's natural. There's no mistake that you guys are out there making doing this that I haven't already run the experiment a lot on, right? I'm not, my passion and helping you guys is that I've goofed up every way you can goof up. And we go through these cycles. You know, when you first started at Note School, you could tell just kind of a cursory story because that's all you would know to do. Then all of a sudden we take you to classes and we do the webinars with you and we take you to the membership site and then we have special events and all of a sudden we get you smart. And then what do we have a tendency to do with our investors?
Try to get smart with them. Try to smarten them.
Exactly. We give them too much information.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. I don't care if it's a doctor. I don't care if it's a mechanic working on your car. I don't care if it's a contractor working on some house or some property. I don't care if it's an attorney that's talking about estate planning or, you know, an oil and gas lease. My general experience is the most knowledgeable people have such a command of the subject that they can explain it back super accurate but simply.
Okay.
The people that talk like they got cotton in their mouth and they're saying something and they're so, they don't have it clear enough in their mind, they can explain it and here's how it works. So, let's talk. Have you ever had your car worked on?
Yes.
All right. Have you ever had like a good mechanic? We've all had bad mechanics, right? Have you ever had like a good mechanic? Like if he told you something, you just knew that he wasn't full of BS and that he really would do what he said, and he wasn't making up crap he was going to fix that he didn't really need fixing.
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, okay, here's what's wrong. Okay, your car is vibrating because, yes, you're probably right that your tires need balancing. But the reason your tires are getting out of balance is because the ball joints on your front end have gotten worn out and they're going to continually not only throw your tires out, but they're going to wear your tires out like 10 times as fast, and it ain't going to fix it until you fix the ball joints. So it's like, can you buy four sets of tires and have an uncomfortable drive all the time better than just going on and fixing the ball joint and then you fix the problem? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
He didn't need to say, now, the ball joint is a 3/8 rod that connects to it. You see what I'm saying? Now, he may know all that, but he didn't need to say that to make us understand. That just recently happened to me in my ranch truck. That's why I use that as an example. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't need to, like, get into the size of the bar or the size of the this or how much fluid it would hold or, you know, all that. So he didn't need to say all that to give me the result. He gave me benefits and not the features.
Right.
You see the difference?
Yes, I absolutely do.
And that's all that's what we do. If you're trying to look for money, you know, trying to make an investor too smart or too detailed, which is our tendency, and that's probably part on me because I love teaching you guys the drill down. Mm-hmm. So does everybody else at Note School. And we think that you need to know it. We do think you need to know the drill down. We just don't think they need to know it.
Right. I see that clearly now.
Yeah. Because once again, it's really what's going to affect them.
So my questions are way ahead of what should be happening.
I've used this analogy a lot. I wish Dwayne were on the call. I know he's on an airplane flying to California today, but I wish Dwayne was on the call because he's corrected me on this movie like 10 million times. And I believe it is A Few Good Men. Okay, I used to say An Officer and a Gentleman, but I think it's A Few Good Men. This is Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. You remember the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it was about basically hazing, and that it's not legal, and you can't do it, right? But everybody knows they do it, and that was the whole thing, is he was trying to break Jack Nicholson, this old crusty colonel, into admitting that they did it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this real great court scene, which I've always considered like the best scene in any movie I've ever seen. And like Tom Cruise is this young kind of cocky JAG lawyer, and old Jack Nicholson's this old thing, and he, you know, boy, you just grab a gun and stand your post, and otherwise get out of my way, and that kind of thing. And Jack Nicholson played a real good old crusty colonel that would, you could just kind of see being that way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the truth of the matter is, we probably wouldn't have won some of the wars if we wouldn't have had some of the old crusty guys. They may not be socially the best old guys in the world, but they're tough and they'll fight and they won't give up. But anyway,
right.
There are rules and there are laws, and it is what it is. So anyway, so finally he said, he says, I want the truth. And he said, you can't handle the truth. Okay? And he was saying, you're a little young, smart-tail lawyer in some pretty white uniform, and you've never been in the field, and you've never experienced it, and you don't know what it's like to trust somebody. And you see what I'm saying? He was saying, you don't have enough base of knowledge to appreciate what we did and why we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He said, you can't handle the truth. Well, I always have used that as a point in dealing with our customers. They're not ready for the truth yet, meaning that when you're buying a seller finance note, if you gave them the price the first time that you had a conversation with them, you'd never buy the note because they're going to suffer from sticker shock of the discount, and you'll never get to the conversation to ever transcend them to accept that as being a fair value.
Mm-hmm.
Or in this case, he ain't ready for the truth yet because, you know, he's just trying to wrap the idea around what it could do for him.
Right.
And yes, it's, you're buying a note secured by real estate, and there's this, and there's yield, and there's risk factors, and they're evaluated, and there's title, and all of those things are like supporting things. Okay, I presume when the guy put the new ball joints on my truck the other day that he put the right bolts in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Mm-hmm.
I trust this guy. They're not cheap, but I think they're real. I don't think they make crap up. He's not a bargain, but I haven't had a problem with him doing work for me and it not being right. Okay, so I trust they put the right bolts in. I trust they ordered the right size, whatever it is, whatever they put in there, you know, and it did this and that and whatever. And the bottom line, I says, well, bottom line is, if I'm going to keep this truck, I got to fix it an hour later, right? And he goes, yep, that's it. And I said, it's going to keep tearing, it's going to keep riding like a bucking bull and tearing up my tires until I fix it. He said, oh, you pretty much got it, Eddie. So all I'm saying to you is that this is where I really think we are trying to go with nurturing this person into doing something. And you got to be careful not to close them too quickly. I'm going to tell you, as far as negotiating, you guys go back to on-demand rich rewards, and I have a sequence in there about negotiating. I have some PowerPoints, and then I have like mock calls, and I kind of show you how I, you know, go through a sequence of closing people, and then I actually physically did a mock call. And I'm telling you, that's some pretty powerful stuff, because after taking tens of thousands of these calls and mailing literally almost 5 million pieces of mail to people that owned a note, what I figured out was you can't rush it. Okay? I can run the numbers and listen to you talk about your kitty cat or your poodle dog that's at the vet and calculate what I'd pay for that note and give you that number, bada bing, bada boom. I can have a 10-minute conversation with you and ask you enough to be fairly accurate as to what we'd pay for the note, and we'd be done. And I say never take an initial call and do that. But not because you can't develop the skill to do it that quickly. It's just practice. The customer will not embrace what you're telling them because you've got to take them through a selling cycle. You ever go into a store, an appliance store, an electronics store, a car dealership, a clothing store or whatever, walk in the door and have somebody come over to you and say, good morning, how could I help you? You ever have that happen?
Yep.
And have you ever said, oh, I'm just looking?
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's funny you say that because I've done that too. And so is everybody else on this call. Why do they do that?
Well, I do it because I don't want them jumping on me right away to buy something.
You don't want to get bum rushed, do you?
Right.
Okay. I am a fairly calculated negotiator and sales guy. I'm fairly well trained. I understand the concept. I understand selling cycles. I think I could teach it at an extremely high level, not just at buying notes, but otherwise. And I find myself personally doing exactly the same thing. Yet I know that the salesperson, if they're competent, is going to tell me things I would never know on my own.
Yeah.
But I never say, unless I'm in a hurry and I'm just buying a thumb drive, yeah, pour it on me. Come climb on top of me. I'm ready. I'm ready to beat this thing up.
Right.
I've always got kind of a filter that I put in between, and I walk around doing what I don't even know what I'm doing at that point. And then eventually they work in and start talking to me and answering questions, and then we start talking. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
Okay. Your guy that you were at dinner with last night is no different.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
And I'm just trying to take natural things that we're all accustomed to and painting your customer, your guy with money, into that seat. He's exactly the same. It's not that he doesn't like you. He ain't ready to open up yet. And you got to let him open the door kind of at his pace.
So on the next, so what would my next step be? I mean, I don't want to call him and start talking about notes right away.
Well, I think you can talk about the benefits of the business, you know, and like, here is something that I would commonly say if I were sitting, You know, I hear Ryan Parson talk about a lot talking to people on an airplane, okay? And I'll admit to you, I fly a lot, and sometimes I get on an airplane, I talk to people, and sometimes I get on an airplane and never say anything to the person next to me. I'm polite to them, I speak, or, you know, I'm not socially weird or anything, but I'm not always chatty. Ryan gets on an airplane and turns into Chatty Cathy because he's found investors on an airplane, and he's got the eye of the tiger to go thinking he's going to find the next one. Okay. Mm-hmm. In fact, he laughs and says he's the only guy he knows that intentionally sits in the middle seat so he can talk to both sides. So some of you would fit that personality and some of you wouldn't. But I have talked to people on airplanes over the years. And so let's just pretend that you're sitting by me on the airplane. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And something comes up where there's a window of opportunity, and you say, Eddie, what do? This would be the part where you say, Eddie, this what do you do?
Oh, okay. Eddie, what do you do?
Well, I really work with people that would normally be investing in either stocks or bonds or alternative investments of real estate. And right now, there's a big stir in our business because I'm helping people invest either their wealth or their retirement in an alternative investment where it's essentially they're the bank. Instead of owning a rent property and kind of thinking that like a landlord, they own a loan. The loan is processed for them, so they don't really have to do a lot of mechanics, but they get the benefit of being the bank.
Oh, that's interesting. How do you do that?
Did you want to ask me the next drill down question?
Yeah. Well, how do you do that?
Okay. Now you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I might say it. I know there's people feverishly writing exactly what I said. I don't think I've ever even said it that way. It's not a script. I could say I buy loans secured by real estate and then work with investors so they can buy. I could say it different ways. And I don't know, you may say, well, Eddie, you'd be better off if you had a script. I don't know. Sometimes I think if you have a script, you sound like you're scripted.
Yeah.
So the short answer is some people are okay with it, and they got to have that script, and that's okay. And I just think, like, I'm going to tell you something. Even as seasoned as I am, I learn as much from this conversation today with you as you learn from it, because it makes me review how I say things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no other way you're going to do this.
Well, that's going to take some practice on my part to do what you just did, to get to that point where I have led them to a point where now they're interested.
So talk and tell, once again, are stories powerful?
Yes.
So tell stories about how you got to where you got to with what you're doing.
Okay.
And you say, look, I see, you know, this network that I'm involved with, this you know, mentor, mastermind network, that, you know, brain trust that I'm involved in, and there's all these people across the country like me that are buying these notes and helping other investors buy notes, and there's a lot of details that we learn so that we kind of learn the rules of the game so that the investor doesn't wake up with a bad experience, us or the investor. But the reality is, the net effect at the end of the day is we feel like people sleep better because they're not fretting about where they're at in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Now that mm-hmm. is a close.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you didn't say, I'm going to take your money and invest it.
Right. Right, that's good. And I certainly hope that this is being recorded so I can go over and over what you've just taught me today.
Well, if that red button that Matthew punched is light lit up, and it is, because I just checked it is being recorded.
Good, good. So I just need to my questions really I should bring back after there's been
One of the things that I think we struggle with at Note School sometimes with students is they'll bring something like this and we'll have a good moment. I think this has been a good moment, right?
Yes, I do too.
And then all of a sudden they won't bring it back with enough detail that we can help them. That's when you have to be good at kind of going back and kind of, well, he said this, and I said this, and he said this. Now, let me tell you what, when you do that, okay? When I say I wouldn't say that, I'm not jumping on you. You got to appreciate my job is to tell you, no, I wouldn't say this, I would say this. Okay?
Right, I understand.
So be okay with that. And
Yep,
I'm I may be animated sometimes, okay? Don't confuse my passion from the fact that it's not criticizing. It's that I'm passionate about trying to help you get it right, and it has been a life's journey. So you're right. Sometimes, I know you find this shocking after teaching for 15 years, but some people won't do what I say. And I can tell by the way they act that they're not going to do what I say. And so I'll get animated with them or I'll get aggressive with them because I want them a little more scared of me than they are that customer. I'm being a coach. You got that?
Right.
I'm going to tell you one quick story because I want this to resonate with you. I'm going to show you the power of a story. Super quick. Okay? My youngest son, Hudson, is played on a really super good Texas high school football team. Not a huge school, but a kind of a medium-sized school. But this team is very good. And Hudson, basically, his position this year was he was the captain of the defense. Okay? They played for the state championship 4 out of the last 5 years. Texas high school football. Okay? Hudson gets to be the captain of the defense. Okay, meaning that he is the middle linebacker, and in the way they set up, about half of the time the defense set up, there was only one linebacker. Now there's football people in this call that goes one linebacker. Yep, they had a 5-1 front, and that linebacker had a lot of pressure on him because if he got past those linemen, he was gone. So my son Hudson is pretty athletic. He's pretty big, but let me just tell you something. We saw a lot of kids this year that were bigger and faster than Hudson. Okay? I mean, you make it all the way again to the state championship. You can't say our kids were the most athletic. We saw kids way more athletic than ours. Our kids were well trained. And I'll tell you one thing that Hudson told me several times. He said, "Dad, I'd face kids that I knew that already signed a contract to go to Alabama, or they were going to Oklahoma, or this and that." And we'd watch film on them, and he said, "I knew they were brutal. They were fast and big, and they could hit me in the chin and roll me over." He said, "But I never walked on that field one time and thought they were going to get the best of me." He said, "Because Coach Rogers convinced me that they were not going to get the best of me." You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying to you that that is a true story about how a high school coach takes a kid who's pretty good, but maybe not the best ever, and he said, I'm going to get you mentally prepared because you're going to see, here's the film. You know this kid's all that in a bag of chips because you've seen his film, right?" So they weren't confused about how fast they were, how tough they were. They watch a film on them all week. Okay, but he still, at the end of the day, did not say, just because you watch them, he says, that's so you're prepared. That doesn't mean that's so you're intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a mindset. I think it's a great example of a mindset, and that's the mindset that when you have these people, you know a lot more about the subject than this person you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't worried about it, they wouldn't be talking to you about it.
Right.
So understand the power that you have and them wanting to talk to you about it.
Okay. I want to ask you one other question.
All right.
Because you've showed me how important it is to tell stories and to get people's interest. Well, we were at a RIA meeting last week, and I spoke a little bit, but not very much, about notes, but enough that some people came up to me. But then later that day or the next day, I got an email from a guy that said would I keep him posted on what I'm doing in notes because he's interested? Well, what do I keep him posted on? You know, it's like, okay, other than those drip email campaign, I thought would be good for him.
So, Evelyn, let me just tell you something. We spent, no exaggeration, hundreds of hours in that playbook that we released to you guys. Hundreds of hours.
I believe that. It's good.
Okay. Well, then that's the answer to your question.
Okay. I think that drip email campaign would be excellent for him.
It's like, and once again, you can set up and you can have coffee with them and you just talk about the business and you see case studies all the time. I mean, this is it. This is the story.
Right. Yeah, because I don't even know who this guy is. Apparently, he asked for my card that he emailed me like that, but I don't know.
I'm going to tell you a little secret, okay? Joe Varnador, do you know Joe? When you started with us, start through Joe. So Joe's a good guy, okay? Joe is very sincere. He's honest. He's a very much a get-along guy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Joe
mm-hmm.
started speaking for us. To be perfectly honest with you, he was a little too nice. And the reason is Joe was such a nice guy. He was kind of apologizing a little bit. I'm selling you this training, but, you know, I just want you to love me and whatever. And we had to toughen Joe up a little bit. We had to say, and we believe this. We're not, this isn't like smoke. This is true. I'm like, Joe, you're a member of an elite team that knows more about buying discounted notes than anybody in America. You believe that? And he goes, I do believe that. I said, you need to sound like you believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a sequence of events, and Joe changed some of his speaking habits, and he's still likable, but he has a different authority to him now. You know what I used to tell Joe? Joe would go to an event and they wouldn't buy very well. And Joe would go, man, I don't know what happened. He said, they love me. He said, everybody, the whole thing, come up to me and tell me how good it was. I'm like, well, hell, Joe, you only sold 5. He goes, I know. I don't know what happened. I said, if they're up there telling you how good it is, they're not back in the room signing up. He goes, oh. I said, the ones that are telling you how really good it is are back there signing up. So the people that bum rush you and that sit around there and ha-ha-ha and ask you 10 million questions and whatever, a high percentage of the time are the no-doers. The people that sit back and kind of almost stand 2 or 3 layers back and look at you and almost look at you like they're snaring at you are serious. And you have to be attentive in that environment to realizing who your players are in front of you. Happened to me last night. I get a bunch of people stand up here in front of me. They're broke. They couldn't pay attention. They can't buy a note and they can't buy training. And I appreciate that. And it's not that I don't have a heart to help them, but last night I'm looking for something to, because I got a business model, right? And I'm looking around and there's people back there that are kind of that tier back that are the players. You be aware of that when you're in a public environment like a RIA.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense, because I did see some that never came up and talked to me, but they were standing around. I don't know what that meant, but maybe they were taking it all in.
And once again, you're warming them up. You know, it may take 2 or 3 sessions to do it. And it may be kind of hard for you, but just go up and at least be social to them and you know, get to the point you get their contact information. I describe sometimes people that think, well, it's hard for me to do a public setting. Let me ask you a question. You ever go to a funeral?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you go to a funeral, are you going to speak to the family?
Yes.
Okay. So once again, you know, you even if that's difficult for you, you know that's important, right? It's important emotionally for them to do that, for you to do that, right? So you had a purpose and a cause, and you were willing to overcome something that was maybe a little bit of a little bit more difficult for you, because you just understood that was the right, that was the correct, not just social thing to do, but emotional thing to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, well then I look at it like this. They are, if they're standing back at you, they got a lot of crap going on in their head.
Okay.
And you're going to help them sort through it. It gives you a purpose and a reason to do it versus me just saying, oh, just get over that and bust through it. You see what I'm saying? It's just like, it gives you a purpose to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Out of soap.
Thanks. I appreciate all of that information. That was really, really good, and it helped me tremendously. Thank you.
All right, Evelyn. Thank you.
An hour later.
All right. So next up, we have a quick question from Barb. So let me pull her in real quick. Barb, go ahead.
Hello there, fellas.
What's up, Barb?
I think I have the answer to this, but I want to hear your take on it. This is a section from the partial agreement when we're selling to an investor. There's a section of listing what encumbrances there might be. So I understand that could be mechanics liens or maybe tax liens or other things like that. I guess the bigger question is, what if we don't know that there's something underlying out there when we sell a partial?
That's why you have a title search.
Yeah, but if you're down the road a bit, we've had this note for, you know, 2 years, 3 years. We don't know, that there might be something out there. How important is that?
Well, Barb, you know my official answer that I want to get you guys away from drawing partial agreements, right? You know that part, right?
Yes.
Because this is why I don't like it. And to make you as smart about closing that Martha, that her job was managing our office and closing all the deals we bought for 7 years, and Susan now for 20-something years. To pour that much knowledge into you guys for closing when we can just hire somebody to do it for us, I'd rather you do it. And this is the reason why. But the answer is, you can get an updated title search. You know, personally, I wouldn't fret it. Because if it's an encumbrance, there's an inference to that it is a superior lien.
Gotcha.
So I have to have some title search at some time to be able to make that statement. And when you own this note, I think you probably generally know that there's nothing that's come in front of you.
Okay.
Okay?
Very good.
All right, cool.
Thank you. I'm
working on some very good solutions by Summer Summit for you guys to have all this plug and play.
Awesome. Thanks.
You bet.
All right, we are going to end the call with old Dave. I know he threw this in, so let's see. I've got two mics for you, Dave. Is this one good for you, or is it the other one? Dave?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
Having a good time. Had a great weekend.
Good. I'm so glad you came. We're glad you could make it.
At the summit, I reacquainted myself with a friend of ours who lives in Texas. And at that time, I just, in my mailings, I came across a note in South Texas, and the gentleman on the side owned the mineral rights to 40 acres.
Okay.
So the note, so there's two different questions here. The UPB on the note's 181. You know, I can figure out the sale price. I'm not worried about that. But on that, I've never sold that size of a note. What kind of commission, other than what the market will bear, would be appropriate to work in there? Or just using my gut. My gut is I could probably go for 15, 16 grand and get away with it. I don't know.
Well, the commission has a lot to do with how you're sourcing the customer. You know, I get people that send a tape to us all the time as something that's been shopped around the country, and they think they want to make 5 points. So they don't have an unshopped deal, and their 5 points is going to blow it, and I'm like, that's ridiculous. You do direct mail, then the whole purpose is you're out there, you're digging through the archives to find the deal that nobody else has worked, right?
Correct.
And it's not as price sensitive, which means you can make more money. It's more work, but you can make more profit. Okay? So you're saying, though, this is an owner, this note is the sale of an oil and gas interest. It's not the sale, it's not the sale of a property, right?
There's two scenarios. One is the sale of the note, and the note seller has already been prefaced by his accountant to expect a 15 to a 30% discount. So I can work within that. I don't mind getting greedy, but I want to be fair. That's one option. The other option is there's mineral rights there, which I'm having our friend David price out, and he asked me specifically, well, what do you want? I said, David, I don't know. I've never sold mineral rights. I don't know what type of commission should be there for me to broker that out. So it would be two separate transactions.
Well, David Finoglio is a mega season royalty owner. In fact, he is a board member of the National Royalty Owners Association. So he can tell you what are industry standards in trading royalties. Okay?
Okay.
I don't know that. If I wanted to know that, I'd probably call David. I mean, he literally is on the national board.
Okay. All right.
But I can tell you that I've traded a zillion notes, and if you've got a direct mail note, you probably can make 6 to 10% margin in this deal.
Okay. Okay.
You shouldn't work for less than 6, probably. And if it still works for the buyer and they can get what they want, and you can still – and you can mark – 18 grand in it, and you back into it and mark up 10 points.
Got it. Okay. That's kind of what my intuition was, but again, I just want to make sure. So it's perfect.
Yep. All right.
Thank you.
All right, Matthew.
All right. We are, we had a couple of potential open mic questions, but we are at the end of the hour, so. I'll go ahead, Eric, if you will send that in to content, we will we'll look at that and get an answer back out to you either offline or on the call on Monday's call. So anything else you wanted to address before we kind of get to the end of it, Mr. Street?
So he's asking about a Roland 60.
A Roland 60 and how to catch them up and put it on the back end of the note. You want to hit it real quick or?
Well, I mean, you just got to tell the servicer to do it. I mean, they can do a mod. Servicer should have a modification agreement. You know that, Matt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they modify the loan with the customer and call it current. Eric, don't give yourself brain damage trying to figure out all the mechanics. You're hiring a licensed servicer. They should have all the mechanics. You just remember, you have to instruct the servicer what to do. That's what we're trying to make sure you understand. Doing a mod is not like, if you have a servicer that doesn't know how to do a modification, we got a whole different topic. So just expect them to be able to do that. It's a great question. I'm just saying the servicer should be able to do it. You know, if you want to bring that modification to a call and let somebody like Charles, you know, go over it with you and everybody else on the call and some of the components of it, I don't have a problem with that. But I'm just saying the servicer should have the modification. What else, Matt?
All right. Well, first off, everybody, it is now time to re-register for the next 2 months of calls. So if you go to the performing tab where you register for calls, we'll have an email sent out to everyone. But those links are up, and you can register for the May-June calls. So that way you'll be ahead, and because we've got about another week and a half, I think, of calls before that ends. So just wanted everybody to know that. Other than that, you want to talk about Summer Summit?
Yeah, Summer Summit. If you go to the page, it now is just noteschool.com/summersummit. You don't have to type the dash in between or anything. Anyway, noteschool.com/summersummit. There's videos on there. You can watch it, and if you can work it into your schedule, I highly recommend you come do the pre-class with Doc Spotiford. It's going to be on entity creation and how it relates to taxes and asset protection. And then we're going to play the little thing with Finolio and I.
Hey, guys, it's Eddie. I'm here with my friend David Finolio, and we want to talk about the Doc Spotiford class. Going to be a one-day class on entity creation, not only tax implications, but asset protection. Brilliant guy. All of us are going to learn something from that. The cost of that is $250 or $200 for a guest or a spouse. Now, all proceeds are going to go to the Child Welfare Board of Montague County. David Finolio, you're going to take us to Fort Worth that night.
Yes, exactly. We're going to have a great afternoon. We'll provide the transportation. We'll take you to the historic stockyards. There's a lot of sightseeing to be done there. Then we'll have a great barbecue meal by the best barbecue in Fort Worth, Texas, Billy's Oak Acres Barbecue. Right, then we're going to be entertained by a humorous cowboy.
All right. Your internet's running a little slow there, Matt. But
oh, okay.
So Finolio got us a deal with a guy that's also a contributor for the Child Welfare Board, which is this guy named Chad Prather. And he is, I think he has like 450,000 people on Facebook. He's a cowboy kind of a comedian. And anyway, he's going to be entertainment. So Child Welfare Board is paying for the transportation, and he's got us a little special deal to go into a hat store if anybody cares for that. It'll be fun. Anything you ever do with Finolio, it'll be over the top fun. And so anyway, that's part of just the day. You're buying the class, and then you get to go on the trip that night. And this is a charity thing, so that's why we do it. It's $250. For a person and 200 for a primary. Summer Summit period, the third and the fourth, which is the drill down, the mentor student, we'll have lots of drill down content. We'll have vendors there that are going to have an active role with us, depending on what they kind of help generally help students do every day. And I just tell you right now that I don't think there's anybody that's ever been to these special venture events that wouldn't say that they're worth it, meaningful. So really need to make your schedule accordingly. So anyway, you can go to the website and look at it. I know a lot of you haven't registered yet because we're monitoring registrations. If you know you're coming and going to register because we're keeping account, there will be a deadline prior to the event. We're not charging you to come. We're charging you if you elect for the special class. That's a charity thing. Everybody's just donating. We're donating staff and room, and Dyke Spotterford's donating his stuff. And what can you say, right? It's a charity thing, but it's worth it. Anybody in the world would pay more than $250 to go to this class. The mentor student part, the summer summit, is free. Can't beat the price on that. We will, because we have the managed seating and capacity and stuff. There will be a deadline to it. So, and there is a limit to how many it'll hold, by the way. So it's not limitless. You probably aren't going to be able to. We'll probably sell out of seats, so to speak. Not sell out. Probably fill up the seats. You might have to be sitting on top of the light fixture or something, Matt, if you register too late.
I'm a special section at the light pole.
Yeah, you're going to be running the ladder, getting them up there.
I'll research how to do that. How about that?
Yeah. All right. Very good. You guys are awesome. Had a fun time today.
Have a good one, Mr. Speaker.
See you.